Welcome to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. My name is Sheila White, and I am so pleased and delighted to have J.P. Jordan, the Artistic Director of Touchstone Theater in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, here to talk about the season that's coming up at Touchstone. J.P., welcome to the station.
Hi, Sheila. Thanks for having me.
So why don't we just start right off with the first performance that's going to be coming up, I believe, in September.
Yeah, and our first show of the season, the first 100 Years of Edith Piaf. It's by this amazing theater company based out of Fara Sabina, Italy, Teatro Potlatch. And I actually got to meet those folks when I was in Shanghai meeting up with Hahai of the Utopia Group, who was in to help with the Journey from the East project last year. And so at that same time going on in Shanghai was the Shanghai Theater Academy's Experimental Theater Festival, and the Teatro Potlatch was featured, their adaptation of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And so after their performance, I had seen them a couple nights later at another show, and I approached them and I was like, hey, your show was really amazing. We're looking to start presenting more international artists. And I mentioned to them about Maladipe, who the Hungarian company that opened our season up last year.
Oh, that was wicked. Wicked cool.
And it turns out that Teatro Potlatch and Maladipe are good friends. And just months before, Potlatch had performed in Budapest at a Maladipe's theater.
So you're building this international network of companies to kind of inform each other, support each other, really expand not only our awareness of all of these incredibly unique and special experiences that are happening around the globe, but you're also bringing them to us so that we have a chance to see these companies, so they could see each other. Tell us a little bit more about the production quality of this program, that what makes it unique to bring here to Bethlehem.
What really enchanted me about their version of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, which isn't necessarily, that's not the show we're bringing. We're actually three times removed from the show we were going to originally bring. Pino, their director, has this amazing lyrical quality and imagination. And one of the things they did that I've never seen, there were some projector techniques that they integrated with really this amazing Grotowski-based, they live in this lineage of actor, the actor creator that is, you know, the same lineage that Touchstone lives in, but they're definitely the generation before.
Okay, and so you got a little academic there. I mean, Grotowski, yeah, and lineage. Can you kind of make that in terms that would make sense to me?
Sure.
Yeah.
So basically, as Touchstone's mission kind of states, that these actors are using their bodies as much as they're using the text.
Ah.
So it's not just a reliance on, perhaps when we get to it, the next piece that we'll be talking about, which King Lear is Shakespeare. This is a very wordy thing, whereas Potlatch, as well as Maladipe, even though they're basing these things off other works that are textual, will be done in a more physical way.
And that's very similar to the performance that you brought in from Budapest last year. It was very physical, almost to the point of pain to watch. They were rolling around this incredibly constructed set.
Right, the Alfred Jari. They based it off King Ubu,
mm-hmm,
but the director extends up at the beginning and tells us all, like, this is in Hungarian, but don't worry about it.
Now, this
you don't
one
need
coming
know.
Up, the Edith Piaf.
Yeah.
Edith Piaf. It's fun to pronounce quickly. Is there going to be English here?
So when I first saw the Piaf perform, when we first visited after Shanghai, we went to Fara Sabina to visit Potlatch, and we saw Piaf performed in Italian. But here it will be performed in English, except the songs will remain in French in the style of Edith Piaf.
Oh, wow. Okay. That sounds like it's something I might just have to get my mindset into. But, yeah. I mean, it sounds like a wonderful experience.
They do all of their work in this way where they created, I think in most cases, almost trilingually, so that I can travel to different festivals around. Plus, the work, as I said, is very physical. So in a lot of cases, you don't even need the words.
So this is a really unique experience. You're not going to get this anywhere in the East Coast, maybe.
This is Teatro Potlatch's American debut.
Wow.
At Touchstone Theater, just as last year, Maladipe's American debut was at Touchstone as well.
Wow, so that's amazing.
This is my new thing, you know, bringing people to America, to the humble little Touchstone Theater on 4th Street in Bethlehem.
But this is what artistic directors do. They seek these experiences to bring to the communities they serve. So I think that's just incredible. So let's then talk about the next piece, King Lear. It's, we have Shakespeare in the community. Our incredible Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival that happens in the summers. So what's going to be excitingly or unique about the King Lear production that we're going to see at Touchstone?
So Touchstone, never to do something the proper way it's supposed to be done. This is a two-person version of King Lear featuring almost 30 puppets as the ensemble cast. The last piece of Shakespeare that people saw on the Touchstone stage was probably our adaptation of The Tempest, which Jim Calder came down and directed us in, and that was a three-person version of The Tempest. So we like these very compact versions of the Bard's Tales, and we're a small space, so two actors, 30 puppets. It's going to be amazing. The work of the Independent Eye, they're a sister company for a long time of Touchstone. They're part of the network of ensemble theaters, and they've probably performed a half a dozen or times in the 35 years that Touchstone has been around, at Touchstone.
Okay, so when you're saying compacted, is it the possibly, are we expecting the full script as Shakespeare wrote it? Might there be some adaptations because of the limitations of characters and how many individuals?
Whereas our Tempest, it was not only just compacted into three people, it was also very edited down into a 90-minute version. The King Lear of the Independent Eye is using the original text with only minor edits.
And so we're still going to get iambic pentameter.
Yes, yeah, okay. Absolutely. I want to mention with King Lear and Piaf that both of these shows are more suitable for mature audiences.
Huh, good to know.
This is King Lear in all of its glory. And
Gory.
Gory. Yeah. And Piaf as well. Potlatch recommends 13 and up for the show.
Well, that's good to know. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for that audience awareness. But something else to note about the King Lear. I mean, we are entering the 400th anniversary of Shakespeare's legacy. So it's great that we keep celebrating this incredible mind of humanity to be able to share this. So a reimagining of these works, I think, is also something that might inspire the audiences to see King Lear in a new way.
Yeah, I think that's part of the reason that Touchstone would ever take on a scripted work. And it's to offer something new, whether it's us doing it ourselves or bringing in a company to do it. If we can't imagine these things in a new way, then what good is it? And anybody, if you want to see King Lear done as they will at the Globe, then you should go to the Globe.
So let's talk a little bit about what that means to Touchstone's persona or the whole mission of Touchstone Theater. You said it's an ensemble theater. Can you talk a little bit more about what that means, different from something else?
Sure. So I think it's easiest to kind of put us in this school, and it's a kind of weird phrase, but I think an appropriate one is we live in the world of the actor-creator. And so what that means is that we're not relying on playwrights. We're not even necessarily relying on directors to do the creative work at Touchstone. What we're looking at doing is having an ensemble full of capable actors in a room, and through them, material will be generated that will ultimately go in. And this is our devising process, which you'll see this coming up season in Follies or in the Boodoo Project, which we'll be talking about later, that this methodology requires the creative body itself and the creative output to come from the actors. That's not to say we don't use every facility that we have with the in our playwriting and our directing, but these things at best stand side by side in our methodology of what creation is, and it's not kind of what's seen a lot of times in a traditional theatrical aspect where a playwright or a director will be kind of the ultimate kind of visionary in the thing.
So this is the kind of mindset, if you would, of the creative process that was born back when Touchstone started how many years ago? Now Touchstone's been here for a while.
Our 35th season.
Yeah. Is it? The 35?
Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible. Yeah. Now, it started from a street theater class, I understand, from Lehigh University?
Yeah, indeed. Bill George was a Lehigh student, and he and John Pearson from Lehigh were working at, I believe at the time it was People's Theater, and then eventually it transformed into Touchstone Theater, and then that was that work at that point in time. It was still civically minded, like the... In a lot of their work, such as the big community-based work that Touchstone does now on a much smaller scale, but it was a really rooted in the community, just as Touchstone still is, but outdoor performance. And then in the history of Touchstone, then the building came in, and people are like, well, you have a building, why don't you have a season? And then now we have
season. And now you have a season, yeah, and thus was born, and thus spoke. Touchstone Theater. So, and the theater has grown over the years, as you said. But speaking of the facility itself, you just got an incredible support from the community in new seats.
Yes, indeed. We received a huge grant from Laros and
the Laros Foundation.
Yeah, the Laros Foundation. Yes. And they sponsored us alongside the community to get brand new seats for Touchstone.
So, oh, that sounds very comfortable.
And we'll be debuting those chairs for the Christmas City Follies.
Oh, in Christmas?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. So is there a chance that any one of us can claim our seat, or is there just come as you
at
would?
At this point, we're still working out the logistics of chair naming and
chair naming,
chair naming and those things. Adopt a chair.
Uh-huh.
This is a... I know we've had many complaints over the last couple of chairs on the last couple of years on the chairs, and they're aging, and so brand spanking new, a gift for our audience for Christmas City Follies.
At least your buns will be comfortable.
Yes, indeed.
Because of course Touchstone cares about our buns.
We do.
Fantastic. Well, we've got a lot more to talk about with the season, and we're going to be talking about two more productions in addition to the Christmas City Follies, and perhaps even some of the other regular things that happen near the end of the season, the Young Playwrights Festival and Fresh Voices. This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon, and I am Sheila White.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm Sheila White, and happy to be in conversation with the Artistic Director of Touchstone Theater, J.P. Jordan. And we're talking about the upcoming season at Touchstone, and what we were recapping at the beginning was the first two productions of the season, which leads into the Christmas City Follies, which, of course, is an annual tradition not to be missed. Christmas is incomplete without it, and that'll be, again, running at the beginning of December for about 3 weeks of production. Yes?
Yep. Indeed. And so it's the same as every year with Follies, something brand new. And so we'll have...
But always the same.
Always the same. And so, we'll get all the actors in the studio, including our new set of apprentices. We have three new apprentices with us this year. And we'll go back and reimagine the holidays.
And of course, this is also a wonderful show because you bring in... Will you still be bringing in guests from the community to do a little... cameo things?
Indeed. So every night of Follies, we'll have a special guest from the community who will join us.
Yes.
The classics will be back as well. I'm sure the old guy and Little Red and the Shopping Cart Ballet will find new energy and new life.
And perhaps a few new bruises. That's
perhaps.
A tough one. Great. Well, then after that, in January, not too much after the break of Christmas season, you're doing a new production. That is being designed or performed by Mary Wright?
Indeed, Maceway.
Maceway.
Okay. And so for those that have been religious followers of Christmas City Follies, you may know the story Mary tells of her childhood and her Christmases in Burma.
Mm-hmm.
And so here Mary, in a larger way, explores the topic of her early life in Burma and what kind of resonates through till today in meaning for her.
Now, Maceway, I think it stands for my friend. according to the brochure that I'm reading right now. And I've heard some of these stories. I mean, they're just, Mary has such an a captivating way of bringing the listener into these stories that transport you. You forget time is passing while she just gives you this wonderful slice of history of her personal life. So what when she makes this expansion into something greater, is it herself in different? I mean, I can imagine that, you know, you have to change things up a bit to extend the time of this for a full production.
Yeah, this work is very much still in progress for Mary.
Excellent.
But I'm sure it will rely on her aptly handling the world of storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Mary is great at this. She runs a story cabaret a couple times a year at Touchstone. She teaches a course in storytelling to our apprentices. We rely heavily on her. She's our resident expert on storytelling.
Yes, yeah. And she also does storytelling around the Lehigh Valley as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're a fan of storytelling, you definitely want to go to see this production and see her work in full glory, because this is not just, you know, sitting in a sequence of storytellers. This is fully her.
Right. It's her for, I'm guessing, probably 60 to 70 minutes, maybe even an hour and a half of her dealing directly with this material from her life. I'm expecting it to kind of resonate in her last offering at Touchstone, where she served as director. And this is sort of out of complete ignorance of my own. But what I'm imagining this thing will kind of take the life on or the feel of is her first year offering of Journey from the East,
mm-hmm.
not the large outdoor spectacle. We did this last season, but the season before, where Mary wrote and directed that first year offering dealing with the Chinese immigration into Bethlehem. And so this, for those that remember, this production had a large element of storytelling where she actually directed other storytellers, whether it was Dong Ning from up at Lehigh or Emma Chong as part of the ensemble, where she tutored those people in the art of storytelling and then developed a scenography around it filled with these other characters.
And I think what's so interesting, at least my takeaway when I see Mary's performances of her storytelling, is that they're soul enriching. There's something that reveals this impenetrable truth of the person and their experiences that resonates so true to being able to connect. And that's what I mean by soul enriching, is that it's someone who has a completely I've never been to Burma, but I know that listening to her stories, I will be there with her in that memory. And that's what's so wonderful about her storytelling, is that it's so consuming, you know, in a really enriching kind of way.
I think for me, like, what that really kind of translates to is that it's pointless to tell a story without hope or without joy. And I think Mary is acutely aware of that in her telling of story. And so, yeah, you even when faced with the harsh realities or, you know, terrible things that can happen, it's not we need to find a way through these traumatizing experiences and find them and find some sort of uplifting thing that, as you say, like, what can our soul take from them? And hopefully it's an effect of joy.
Well, then, of that joyful experience, then we're going to then move into the next piece on the season, which actually has a long running time. It launches at the end of March and runs all the way through the beginning of May. And that one's Boodoo, which is another folktale of sorts. So can you tell us a little bit about Boodoo?
Sure. So Boodoo is Touchstone's newest devised work. And we began working on Boodoo about 6 to 8 months ago. Oftentimes with something like Follies, we have maybe 100 or so hours to put it together. With Boodoo, we knew we wanted more time. We really wanted to dig in and do some real kind of ensemble building work together. And so Josh and Mary and Bill and Emma as the core acting ensemble of Touchstone, and myself as director, with help from Christopher Shore as a playwriting assistant, we're all in the studio at this point. We're building this latest work. The long span of dates is what we're going to do is we're going to perform 3 weekends. And so the first weekend, we're going to perform at the Ice House. The 2 weeks later, we're going to perform in Moravian's Arena Theater. And then two weeks after that, we're going to perform somewhere around town outside. We're trying to build this show that it can exist in any environment. Mm. So we'll either be in the Parham Park, or we've been daydreaming about Lehigh's Mountaintop as a possible venue. So we're still on the lookout for what that final one will be and setting the exact times. But this began as a prompt I brought to the ensemble in the form of a set design. And I've been wanting to do this one thing with set for a while that used a turntable. This has since been abandoned, but the prompt came out of a set idea, and as well as my desire to deal with fable. And so what we created was a fairy tale land. And in this fairy tale land, there are merchants, and each of the merchants sell a different type of magic. And so when we think about magic, and these people, we were like, well, do they really sell magic? Does magic exist? Does magic exist in this fairy tale world? And so we came up with what we're calling our 3D approach to each of the characters and how they relate to each of the other characters. And we saw this 3D equaling delusional, divine, and deceiver.
Oh, my.
And so so how can these different aspects, especially in magic, like the idea of having to believe in magic for it to be real, or, you know, people, you know, hucksters using their magic as a trade, and what these things are. So we're exploring this different level of human activity, or, you know, interrelationships. We were looking at some text to start off, too. We read this book that is kind of an academic book, but it was called Finite and Infinite Games. And so we were dealing with, you know, what are the games we play with each other, and what is this idea of an infinite game? Mm-hmm. As opposed to how we treat one another in the world.
So not to go too far deep into this, but the word voodoo is spelled B-H-U-D-O-O. Where does that come from?
So voodoo was a word that Bill George, our founder, we were in a meeting, and I believe he was trying to talk about Buddhism and voodoo at the same time, and voodoo came out.
Oh, like, my goodness.
Oh, all right, voodoo. That sounds cool.
All right, so
anyone in the world called voodoo.
That's amazing. So now you know. You have the inside track because you're listening to the Lehigh Valley Art Salon, and now you know that voodoo is a contraction of Buddhism and voodoo.
Yes.
Oh, excellent. How clever is that?
So there's this magic to it, this, you know, transcendentalism in
this world. Oh, my goodness. It sounds like an experience. So and that you're giving it 8 months to gel and to really think through. I mean, that really tells significant amounts of the process that an ensemble theater goes through.
Yeah, and for the reason, part of the reason we're doing this every other weekend at different venues is it's been a while since Touchstone has done a lot of touring. We stopped touring about 5 years ago with our last children's work, where we put to bed in that last kind of area, the Don Quixote, the Adventure Begins, our Talisman and Journey from the East, and kind of right at the same time, all of those shows had kind of ran their course, and we were touring in the children's work. And then at that point in time, about 5 years ago, we're like, well, let's concentrate on adult work. And so now that we've got our mojo kind of back, going back strong with this, you know, with this core ensemble here of actors that now have been in four shows together, that we're looking to take this on tour. So we're building it specifically in this way and presenting it with the idea of like, yeah, let's be able to move into a venue. Let's, you know, anyone. And not only that, but let's be able to do this outside.
Well, so what I want to make sure that our listeners get is a chance to, if they're interested in seeing more about the season or perhaps even buying season tickets to make sure that they get every show, they get to touchstonetheater.org on the website.
Just touchstone.org.
Thank you. Yeah. Touchstone.org. Thank you for the correction.
Touchstone.org, as well as our Facebook page, has a lot of information. You can link through that to find out more about what's going on at Touchstone.
And if they do get to the website to buy tickets, right now there's a Flex Pass available. You can save 30%.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There's the Flex Pass, and you can use those tickets that you get with the Flex Pass all throughout the season. You can bring guests, you know. It's a great thing that's going on.
That's great. And the theater itself is located where?
321 East 4th Street in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
That's right. And you've got a park right next to you. You mentioned Parham Park is right next to you.
Yeah.
Parking is available behind the theater?
Right out back of Touchstone, there's a parking lot. And so not only that, but come early. It's the South Side. There are many amazing restaurants around. Go out, eat. Enjoy the South Side and then come to a Touchstone show.
Great. So there's also just a couple more things on the season that regularly happen as a part of this. And I'm not sure if the Flex Pass would count toward these as well, perhaps differently.
There are special events that are external.
All right. So the external special events that are also worth noting, especially one that's near and dear to my heart, is the Young Playwrights Festival that always happens in May. And then the Fresh Voices, which features your new apprentices, they will be given the full stage for their own realizations in July.
Sure. With Fresh Voices, the apprentice class every year is challenged with creating a 10 to 15 minute solo work and then also a 15 minute to 30 minute ensemble devised work and the methodologies they've learned from Touchstone over the years.
Wow. That's amazing. I mean, it's incredible that an ensemble theater of this size has been able to sustain itself for 35 years in Bethlehem. And a lot of that is due to incredible support from our local foundations, as well as a very dedicated and generous audience. But there's always room for more. It's not like it's a little siloed place of creation. It's something that really does reach into the community quite well.
Absolutely. And one of those initiatives is the Valley Actors Lab, which we're trying to do. We ran it last year very successfully, and we hope to have the same success this year. With a partnership with Allentown Public Theater and between Touchstone Theater, we're offering acting classes that are run by Bill George, our founder, and the founder of Allentown Public Theater, Josh Neff.
And if anyone wants to read about that, they can also go back to touchstone.org.
Touchstone.org, yeah.
Well, JP,
we're currently recruiting.
JP, thank you for that. And thank you for your time. Thank you also for our listeners. I hope to see every one of these performances because I always walk away with just a touch of magic in my pocket. You've been listening to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. My name is Sheila White. Thanks so much for joining us this evening.